Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han. And we have online Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist for U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management.
Good morning, Joe. All right. U.S. and U.K. markets closed for a three-day weekend. Now, are you expecting any pent-up themes to be at play when markets reopen?
I think when the markets reopen, I think it's going to be a grind higher. We just got done with earnings season. It was pretty good. Top line, bottom line. There's confidence about central bank liquidity being plenty of out there. Politics is another issue altogether. But in general, investors are feeling good about the earnings backdrop growth, global synchronized expansion. So we're going to move higher here in the next couple of weeks.
Now, also want to get your comments on this. You've got U.S. President Donald Trump recently wrapping up that nine-day trip outside the U.S. Now, earlier you mentioned politics, you know, perhaps having a tinge on investor sentiment. What was your biggest takeaway, if any, in terms of Trump's engagement with foreign leaders?
Well, in general, I mean, in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia in particular, obviously there was a big arms deal that was signed. So we've been long defense for quite some time. But then when you know, by the time you got to Europe, you know, Angela Merkel today saying that Europe's going to go it alone. So there's some testiness there. But in general, there's a lot of good trip, relatively speaking. Some business is being done. We've got a lot of work to do with the transatlantic economy, but that's, you know, nothing new. So in general, I think the market's taken in stride, and it was a good overseas visit.
So now that you mentioned, you know, earnings season has been pretty good, but it's now over, and you've also still got remaining concerns over the Trump presidency. You know, yet we are seeing the S&P 500 keep notching new record highs. I mean, this cannot keep going, can it?
I mean, nothing will grow forever. I mean, we'll get a pause, we'll get a reset. And really, you know, you got to look sector by sector. I mean, you know, the NASDAQ and the S&P, the Dow, they're all moving higher. But, you know, some of this is very driven by a few companies or, say, certain sectors like technology. So it's still a sector stock-picking market in general, because as the expansion becomes more elongated, the rally continues, the breadth gets shorter and shorter. You want to make sure you're in the right stocks and sectors. So it's technology, financials. We like some energy value there. And then also, you know, like in Malaysia, we're putting some more money overseas, whether it's South Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, not Brazil yet, but we're looking to put some money overseas as well.
Now, I also want to get your reaction to comments made by San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President John C. Williams. Now, he says the U.S. economy is fine the way it is, and it doesn't need a fiscal package. What say you?
No, I would say I would, like, lean against that statement. I don't think we need a fiscal package now. I mean, I think he's right. I think we might need one when we get into, say, 2018 and 19, because monetary policy, you know, relative tightening here as we go forward. We think the Fed's going to raise rates in June another time this year. So as the Fed is tightening, we get some little fiscal spending. That's a nice offset that keeps the expansion going. So I agree with them. Near term, we don't need it. But long term, we're going to need fiscal spending, whether it's infrastructure, corporate tax reform. These are structural issues that will help drive growth fundamentally. And they're still very much needed.
Now, he's also saying that three rate hikes are very much on the table, including the one in March. I'm looking at the Fed funds futures now 100% for that upcoming meeting in a couple of weeks or so. You know, what do you think? You know, would three rate hikes this year be appropriate?
I think it would be appropriate, and it's a sign that the expansion is gathering some momentum. I mean, hopefully we can get above that 2-2.5% growth. But I think the markets would be very surprised if we didn't move, if the Fed didn't move in June. And then you got to sit back and see, make sure the soft data, you know, kind of aligns with the hard data. So I do think, you know, we move in June, and then by the end of the year, and then next year we're still looking for two or three more rate hikes. And that's assuming a lot. That's assuming we get the fiscal spending, the infrastructure, global growth continues, unemployment continues to come down, a little wage pressure. So it's a good backdrop. It's not great, but, you know, right now for earnings, for the economy, for investors, it's a good backdrop.
You mentioned unemployment, though. We've got non-farm payrolls coming out this Friday. What are your expectations on that front?
Oh, I think it's been another big number, robust number. A lot of clients I talk to, small, medium, large-sized companies, they're all looking for workers. They're paying more. So I think the employment numbers will be good. The key will be wages, like how much more are companies going to have to pay to get their workers, keep their workers, find the workers. And I think that could be an issue later for this year when it comes to corporate earnings. Earnings are strong and robust. We haven't had to pay up yet for labor. But I'm looking for a strong number for the labor and hopefully, you know, some wage pressure building as well. I think that's good for the consumer and it's good for confidence overall.
Now, going back to those comments by Williams, you know, he was also saying that the Fed's process of reducing the size of its balance sheet, that should, you know, be done in baby steps and it will also be boring. What does that mean, boring? What does that mean for global investors?
Well, that means, you know, that when the Fed does start to, like, reduce its balance sheet, it's going to be done very structurally. It's going to be a lot of certainty. But what he's trying to say is that there won't be anything that spooks the market. It's going to be well telegraphed, no surprises. You know, the markets hate surprises, particularly from central banks. It can be very disruptive. So he's just trying to soothe fears about how the Fed manages, you know, unwinding its balance sheet. And, you know, expect to hear more of the same from other Fed governors. They're going to really jawbone the markets in terms of confidence. So, you know, boring. I hope it's boring. I hope he's right.
Now, also with that in mind, so on the flip side, are there investment opportunities to be had before this boring unwinding process begins?
Well, I mean, I think here in the United States, you know, whether it's, you know, travel, is tourism doing well? I think the financials, if we're right, back up a little bit, they should do well here in the banks. Energy, deep value, that's a tougher call because I'm more bearish on oil prices than most people. And, you know, as I said, we're putting more money in developed Europe, Japan, and the emerging markets like Malaysia.
Right. Now, while you outline your overview on emerging markets like Malaysia, and you mentioned South Korea as well earlier, but we got to look at Europe as well because we've got comments from ECB President Mario Draghi saying, and I quote, "An extraordinary amount of monetary policy support is still necessary." So what needs to happen then before the ECB can start taking its foot off that QE, you know, that quantitative easing pedal? And what does that do for your investments in Europe?
Well, I mean, it's very supportive. What he said is very supportive to equities. He's saying, signaling, and the ECB is going to go very slowly when it comes to raising rates. So there's lots of liquidity. I think the key measure there will be unemployment. I mean, the unemployment rate in Europe is double what it is here in the United States. So they're really 2 or 3 years behind the curve when it comes to kind of the improvement in the labor market that we've seen here in the United States. So, you know, he's talking the confidence game. He's trying to keep investors engaged and feeling good about themselves when it comes to, you know, access to liquidity. And so, you know, Europe is a tough call. I mean, you know, the unemployment rate in Germany has come down dramatically, but it's still very high in Spain and Italy. So, you know, Europe is tough when you talk about unemployment because each country has its own problems and it's in a different cycle. That's the hard part.
So perhaps a similar approach to how you're looking at U.S. equities then, you know, instead of sectors by sectors, you're looking at it from country to country for Europe?
Yeah, for country or something, you know, sectors. We like the health, you know, life sciences in Switzerland, the capital good makers in Germany, luxury brand companies in France and Italy, some of the Nordic banks. I think the U.K. is going to be a little bit punished here, given kind of the Brexit divorce. I'm a little weary there. We see more downside on the currency. We're buying euros. I mean, Angela Merkel came out today or yesterday and said, like, Europe's got to take its own fate in its own hands. That can mean more Europe, more integration, you know, further step towards fiscal union, capital markets. I think it's very bullish for the euro. So we're buying euros here.
Well, Joe, you've certainly given us plenty to mull over, plenty of awesome ideas there. Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management.
Han, really interesting discussion, especially the tail end there. I'm not sure if I'm so excited by discussions by business analysts about whether the Fed is going to hike rates and how many rates they're going to be. Just so much time spent talking around the same thing on a daily basis, it seems.
But here's the thing, you know, because the Fed's path for normalizing U.S. interest rates, it's got an effect across global markets. You know, I think for us here in Malaysia, I think the most evident one, at least according to conventional wisdom, is the currency channel, right? Forex, you know. Now, although to be fair, the U.S. dollar, you know, has widely disappointed so far this year, despite that rate hike in December, despite that rate hike in March, and possibly another one coming up in June. No? But I think the argument against that would be this, no? That because these rate hikes are so well telegraphed, right? Because the markets know how to price this in, so they've made their adjustments, so you've got that smooth and orderly, you know, transitioning and movements happening in the FX market and also in other asset classes.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was interesting is the talk about Germany, especially about Angela Merkel's message. And also, you know, I don't know if you saw this, it was online, it was kind of viral. It was what Martin Schulz, one of her chief opponents, said in defense of her against Donald Trump. I thought that was quite an extraordinary speech he made, really calling Trump out for his bad behavior. And I think Europeans probably at the end of their, you know, up to their necks in Trump's bad behavior and fighting back.
And perhaps Trump will be that unifying factor for Europe then, you know, if they have that common, enemy is such a strong word, but you know, just that common focal point.
Annoyance. Okay. We'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.